In his book, Unscripted, Ernie Johnson Jr. told a story. And it was about when he was 8 years old. He was playing on a Little League or Pee Wee baseball team. And their team had been comfortably ahead. But as the game progressed, their pitcher started wearing out, getting a little tired. And he was their pitcher because he was their only pitcher. He was the only kid on the team that could consistently get the ball as far as the plate and over home plate. And the other team started to catch up. Well, it got to be the last inning. Ernie's team was still 3 runs ahead. They got 2 outs, but then there was a base hit, and then there was a walk. And then something happened that had not happened before in the history of that Little League team, is the batter really connected with it. It went over Ernie's head, who was playing shortstop, and went over his head, bounced once and over the little chain link fence in the outfield for a ground rule double. So it scored 2 runs. With a man in scoring position. So the coach, the manager, called timeout and assembled his infield and went over with each player exactly what their role was to be if the ball was hit to them. And as he was going through chapter and verse with each player, what they were supposed to do, he looked out and noticed that most of his outfield had disappeared. So he thought he better go find out what happened to his outfield, and he went out, inquired, and found that the center fielder and the left fielder had decided that they would go find the ball that had gone over the fence. So he went out and started to look as well for the ball. The ball was right there in plain view, but the players weren't. And as he looked down, and there they were with their little skinny 8-year-old arms weaving them through the brambles of a blackberry bush. And there they were with the telltale sign, and they had been consuming these perfectly ripe, juicy, delicious blackberries. And it took some cajoling, but he finally got his players back and onto the field, and they were able to finally resume the game. Today we're going to talk about that kind of a decision, the decision to eat the blackberries. The title of my talk today is The Berry Pickers. Ernie Johnson wrote in that book, "I have no memory of how that game turned out, but a game that features a blackberry delay struck a chord with my dad, and from that point on, it simply became known as the blackberry moment." So today we're going to talk about blackberry moments. The theme for the month of July is open communication, and I know you're all expecting a talk today on freedom and, you know, 4th of July and whatnot, but it's really struck me, and I think that open communication is important, and maybe the most important aspect of open communication is open communication with ourselves. When I have sessions with people, I, you know, talk about confidentiality and I talk about non-judgment, but I also talk about honesty. And sometimes it's really hard to be honest with ourselves. And so that's going to be kind of the nature of what we talk about today, how being honest with ourselves can help lead to those blackberry moments. In our Power of the Word class, one of our readings is Can We Talk to God? And the first page of this book, Can We Talk to God? Can we talk to God? We all know that we can talk at God, but it is a different proposition to consider whether we can talk to God. I'm considering the topic from the standpoint of communication. Unless we are conscious that we are talking to God, and God is conscious that he is being talked to, we certainly cannot communicate with God. There can be no real communication without a reciprocity of ideas. Either we can talk to God or we cannot. If we cannot, then we might as well realize it and no longer try. But if we can, we feel certain the little conversation with the deity would do us more good than much conversation with each other. So today I want to talk about three spiritual practices to help us communicate with the divine and discover these blackberry moments. I'm going to talk about meditation, prayer, and visioning. First of all, meditation. Meditation has been around for as long as we know. We know that prehistoric man used what they called rhythmic chants. Today, I think we would call those mantras. But even prehistoric man had a form of meditation in chanting. The earliest written records we found were from the Hindus, 1500 BCE, the Hindus meditated. In Taoist China, we found written records of 700 BCE. The Greeks, Philo of Alexandria, wrote a treatise on it in 20 BCE. And within the Abrahamic tradition, Judaism, Christianity, the Lecto Divina, we still practice the Lecto Divina today. In fact, we practice the Lecto Divina the first and third Saturdays of every month with our centering prayer. Yesterday morning, we had Lecto Divina right here, a form of meditation on a directed topic, and in Islam. So meditation has been with man for as long as we know. Often we talk about the still small voice. The still small voice was first recorded that I could ever find in the Hebrew scriptures. It was not Thoreau, it was not Emerson, it was actually in the first book of Kings. And Elijah was out attempting to find God. He wanted to connect with God. And it's a long story, I won't go into all of it, but as he went into this process, first there was, and I can't remember which was first, the fire I think was first, and a giant fire, and God was not within the fire, and he sought refuge in a cave. And then was what I think today we would call it a hurricane, but it was called a powerful wind that could blow boulders around. But God was not in the hurricane. Then there was an earthquake, but God was not within the earthquake. But finally, in the end, as Elijah sat in the cave, at the entrance to the cave, there was a still, small voice. And Elijah found God in the still, small voice. And I think that's a beautiful thought, because where did he find God? He found God in the still, small voice within, the indwelling God. That noted theologian, I don't always agree with him, but makes a great point, Joel Osteen. I don't believe that we are to drag ourselves through life defeated and not see God's blessings. But you have to make the right choices and follow that still small voice within you, because I think that that's how God leads us. Second spiritual practice is that of prayer. Affirmative prayer, we call it spiritual mind treatment. That's an old term, but it's still useful. And I'll go back to that quote from the first page of Can We Talk to God? There can be no real communication without a reciprocity of ideas. And so if we can put our ideas forth into the universe, in order for communication, we have to receive ideas back. And that's what we can do in prayer. We open ourselves to that. And I'll return to the sacred reading this morning. There was a sentence in there that really struck me. I know you were all thinking, oh my God, that man's still writing, he's talking, they're doing special music already. But affirmative prayer is an exercise in knowing who we are. It's an exercise in knowing who we are. C.S. Lewis was the author of widely read children's books. He wrote the Narnia Chronicles. There was a movie that was produced, it was in the early 90s, on his life. And one of the powerful things in there was that his mate, his soul connection, came down with cancer. And after she was diagnosed with cancer, they went ahead and got married. And the movie invites us to witness their love, their pain, their grief, their struggles, and their faith. Eventually, Joy dies. At one point in the story, a friend says to Lewis, "Christopher can scoff, Jack, but I know that how hard you've been praying, and now God is answering your prayers." But his answer, his response, Lewis replies, "That's not why I pray, Harry. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I am helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all of the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God, it changes me." And so often our prayers change us. They don't change the effects of the world. They change us. The third spiritual practice is that of visioning. Envisioning, I think of that as listening to God. Cindy is sort of the local queen of visioning. For me, visioning is being still and being silent and listening to God. Yes, the still small voice is part of that, but it can be in any form. It can come in any way, shape, can be almost anything. But it's when we can be alert and yet empty our mind of all thought, create a vacuum and allow that those thoughts, those feelings. And it can come in smells, almost any one of the five senses. Seems to be the impress of the thoughts of God into our lives, so that enhances that concept of the reciprocity of ideas. We've created a structure around it. We ask ourselves a number of questions that allow us to be open to that. I try to never repeat one of my stories, but I told a story 8 years ago that absolutely fits today, and so I'm going to tell a story twice. It was the first year that my grandson played on a baseball team, and then they were playing T-ball. And in T-ball, the ball is placed on a tee at the plate, and the batter just hits it, and that it starts to play. Everybody gets to bat every inning. Everybody gets to play. You know, it's a very inclusive thing. They don't keep track of score or anything like that. It's everybody wins kind of a thing. I mean, these are little guys, 5 years old. Well, there was a player on his team who perhaps did not have all of the athletic skills in the world. I think her name was Tracy. And when Tracy ran, it was with her arms windmilling. And she could never quite catch the ball. It might hit her and fall to the ground. And she threw. But what Tracy lacked in athletic prowess, she more than made up for in the cute meter. Just a darling little girl. Pigtails, and mom kept her perfect. Never had a grass stain. She was always just perfect each week. But Tracy had never hit the ball. Even on the tee directly in front of her, she had never hit the ball. Well, these little guys, they may be small, but they're not dumb. And they see a player that hasn't hit it, you know, many, many times. Well, the opposing team was all right around home plate because they knew that the ball wasn't going to go very far. Well, in this particular day, it was the last game of the season, and it was the last at bat of everything. Little Tracy got up and closed her eyes tightly and swung as hard as she possibly could, and she connected with that ball. And it sailed over the head of everybody on the other team. I mean, it went over second base. It went way out there. And Tracy was shocked. And, well, the other team, everybody just stood there and looked. Nobody did anything. Finally, somebody shouted, "Run, Tracy, run!" And she took off carrying the bat, and then she realized she couldn't carry the bat. She came back, she put down the bat, and she took off running again as fast as she could. Kind of had to show her which way to go. She'd never gone to first base before. And so there she ran. The other team finally realized they better go get the ball. So the other team, you know, everybody with the pitcher and the catcher took off after the ball. And it took them a while to get it. And she ran and she got to first and she was going to stop there. "No, Tracy, run, go to second." So off went Tracy, heading for second base. About that time they got the ball and they threw it back in, and Tracy's headed for third in the outfield, but there wasn't any third baseman there. The ball came in all the way to the catcher. Somebody started to man the base at third, and the catcher threw the ball, and the third baseman missed it, and the ball went all the way out into the outfield. And here came Tracy. Well, we had an elderly Labrador retriever at the time. Little Allie was getting up in age, and she didn't hear too well, and she was gently snoozing at the end of the bench. And all the players liked little Allie. She was a good little dog. And Allie heard all the commotion going on. Everybody shouting, "Run, Tracy, run! Run, Tracy, run!" So Allie got up, and Dad's up there. He's got this movie camera going, and he's recording, and everybody's, "Run, Tracy, run!" And Tracy rounded third, the ball has headed out into the outfield. Tracy is going to get a home run. And she rounded third, and she looked over, and there was that old dog, tail wagging. And you know how a Labrador can just smile? And little Allie had that, just that darling Labrador smile on her face. And Tracy slowed down, and she looked at home plate. And she looked at the dog, and she looked at home plate, and she turned and ran over to the dog and dropped, threw her arms around the neck. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our lives with getting ahead and acquiring things and a nice house and a new car, and we get so wrapped up and what we're doing, we forget that sometimes it's important for us to go for the dog. The thing that I want everybody to take away today is summarized from this passage at the first of the book, The Essential Ernest Holmes. You may be sure of this. There is an integrity to your soul such as you will find nowhere else in the universe. Here you will meet life. Here you will decide, and here you may neutralize the thought patterns of the ages by simply denying them and saying something greater than that, and I believe in it. There is a power greater than I am, and I accept it. And no matter what the mistakes are, The universe holds nothing against us ever. Ernie Johnson Jr. went on to say later on in his book Unscripted, "I think that God has placed blackberry brambles all along the paths that we walk every day. We just need the eyes to see them, the ears to hear them, and the hearts to detect them." So it is by that open communication with ourselves that we can discover the blackberry moments in our lives and know when it's time to go for the dog. And so with this awareness of the divinity which is inherent with each and every one of us as magnificent and beautiful children of God, I invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to stand and join me in holding our congregation in love and light, seeing beyond all outward appearances, and knowing the truth for each and every situation. And as each and every one of us walk through life, we go through this earthly plane, we have our troubles, our trials, our tribulations, we have all of the problems that every human being has. And yet we know that beyond these problems, beyond the things, the appearance of things in our lives, there is a spiritual truth which allows us to change, that allows us to receive all of the goodness of God's largesse. So I speak my word particularly for each and every person who is experiencing lack and limitation. I just simply know that we live in an abundant universe. And our needs are met according to our ability to open up and receive. And for those that are having that difficulty, I just know the truth that we do indeed live in an abundant universe. I speak my word for those experiencing a health challenge, knowing that behind the appearance of disease, there is indeed a blueprint of perfection. And I call forth that blueprint. I call forth that perfection. And I know that there is a healing. There is a magnificent and powerful healing going on, and that the highest good is unfolding for each and every person. And I speak my word for those who are feeling separation. Separation from one another, separation from God. We're feeling disconnect in relationships. And it makes no difference what type of relationship it is. If it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a relationship at work, a family relationship, it makes no difference because it's all God. It's all God expressing God. And if each and every one of us are divine expressions of God, then each and every one of us has the capacity for unlimited, unbounded agape love for one another. And it is that love that I call for in every relationship. Call for and accept the very love of God. And so now I just give thanks. I give thanks for the abundance in the world. I give thanks for perfect health. I give thanks for the love of God. And I release these words to a working of law that always responds. And so it is.